Check 1, 2. Now I'm on. So Mark chapter 13, beginning of verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep watch. Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So have you ever gone to a new place, whether it's to a new school, or to a new workplace, or to a new neighborhood? Do you remember how you felt? You feel kind of like an outsider, right? You walk in and you kind of look good, especially when you go to a new school or a new class, like if you've graduated from elementary school up to middle school or something, and you walk in, you're kind of like, ooh, this is different. A lot of different things. I'm actually going to ask you if you remember a time when you came to a new place, whether it's school or work or neighborhood, and somebody reached out to you and made you feel welcome. And I'm going to ask you if you want to share an experience like that. I'll share one. When I first went to Westmont College, I went in January, so it was midway through the year. Very uncomfortable time to start college because everybody makes their friends in September. And there was one guy in the choir, I sang in the choir, and there was one guy in the choir that was really nice to me and reached out to me. His name was Jamie Lewis, and he reached out to me and befriended me and took care of me that first few months that I was there so that I felt welcome, that I felt a part of the student body there. Ironically, he went on to marry a girl in choir whose name was Cindy Lewis. They both had the same last name, so it was pretty cool. She didn't have to change her driver's license, didn't have to change her social security ID card, anything. It was great. So I've been looking for a woman named Alan for a long time. Avoid all of that. Any of you remember an experience like that? Carol, I have the mic here, so I'm gonna have you talk into the mic.
Check. There.
Yes, interestingly enough, I auditioned to be the alto section leader in 1990. And the director, of course, was very welcoming. But when I came to the first rehearsal, it was Linda Becker. Just right off the bat, I felt like I'd known her for 10 years, and she always made me feel welcome.
Awesome. Awesome. Great memory. Somebody else? It doesn't have to be this church. It could be outside this
church.
Pam.
When I first came here, we were having services in what's now the underground, and Baba was the pastor at the time. But after the service, one, I think it was my first time here, Joyce Smith came up to me and welcomed me and kind of took me under her wing. And we remained friends until she passed away. She was always a special person to me.
Yeah, she was amazing. Awesome. Somebody else? Are you raising your hand or pointing at somebody? I saw a finger.
When we came back to the country because we were not living here about 2 years and a half, we didn't find a church. And I saw several times I passed in front of here, and I told my husband one day, come, but I was working in that time and I couldn't come with him. But the first time when I came, I remember Betty giving us the best welcome I have felt. And obviously the rest, little by little, but I remember so kind Betty was, and I felt this is home.
Awesome. That's great.
Thank you.
Good. Anyone else? So I grew up in Northern California, as many of you know, and went to school at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, then worked at Berkeley for 2 years, and then I took a job in Newport Beach. And when I took the job in Newport Beach, it was as youth music intern. So I was halftime youth and halftime music. And at the same time, I started a master's program at UC Irvine to do a choral conducting master's. And one of the things, the musicians will understand this, if you're getting a degree in music, then you have to be in an ensemble. And so anybody that was in the choir ensemble had to be in the school choir because you became the commercial for the music program, go out and sing in the community and stuff. So I had to be in the choir at UCI. The choir rehearsed on Sunday nights, the choir that they wanted me in. And the first rehearsal happened on a Sunday night in September. And I was going on a retreat with the choir because that was part of my job description at the church in Newport Beach. They had a retreat at Arrowhead Springs Hotel. This is not Lake Arrowhead, it's over the hill and down closer to San Bernardino. Anybody been there? Arrowhead Springs? That's where Arrowhead water comes from, by the way. Not the lake, but from the springs. And it's a cool spot. There's a little, It's called Arrowhead because there's a rock formation above the resort that looks like an upside down arrowhead. And that's actually the picture on the outside of the bottle is of that, if you've ever seen that. It's a great resort. We had a wonderful time. Now, you have to understand, I had just moved to Southern California. I was from Northern California. You know the difference between Northern Californians and Southern Californians, right? Southern Californians always refer to freeways with the, and Northern Californians don't. So when you're in Northern California and you say, how do you get to San Francisco? They'll say, you take 280 North. But in Southern California, they would say, you take the 280 North, because our freeways are that much more important. Right? It's like the athletes when they say, where did you go to school? And they say, the Ohio State. You know, it's just kind of makes it sound more important. So anyway, I'm down, I'm living in Newport Beach, and kids, you just have to know, this was before cell phones, before smartphones, before GPS. We used this thing called a map. And people gave you directions. They wrote them down sometimes. So I was going up to Arrowhead Springs Resort, and I was told the directions. You take the 55 North, you take the 91 East, you take the 210 East, and then you take this exit and head up. Got it. I had to leave there. I had to drive myself because I had to go to this choir rehearsal for UCI. So I get up there and I think, I just turn it around and do the opposite to get home. The thing is, there's this little freeway called the 215 that you don't really realize you get on when you're driving that way because it just, the 91 becomes the 215. But when you're driving on the 210, it never says 91. It says 215. So on Sunday night, when I'm going to the first rehearsal and I'm kind of nervous and I got to get there and I don't want to let the choir director down, he's the head of the department, and I'm driving along on the 91 looking for the, I'm sorry, driving along on the 210 looking for the 91. And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, about 45 minutes in, I go, huh, I don't remember passing through Pasadena. I was late, right? And of course, I couldn't text the director. I couldn't call the director on my cell phone. I had to talk to him on Monday. So that was my experience when I first got here. And it just reminded me, because I was just driving back down the 215 the other day, and I thought, life has changed. I feel so much better. I know the freeways now. I know what freeways to take, which freeways to avoid. I feel at home now. I've been here for many, many years, more years than I was up north. But I do remember when I got to UCI, there was a guy named Daryl Higa, H-I-G-A. He was Japanese-American. And he welcomed me in at UCI. He was in the choir that I sang in. We actually ended up becoming roommates. And he was just a great guy to me and very friendly. And I think partially because he had grown up feeling like an outsider. He was Japanese-American, and he grew up in Oahu, Hawaii. So imagine what it must feel like to be Japanese-American in Hawaii back in the, he grew up in the 50s, 60s. So you're still in the shadow of Pearl Harbor. And so people kind of looked at him sideways in Hawaii. So he kind of grew up with that, knew what it meant. And he was the first one to introduce me to that word marginalized, to feel like I'm on the margins, an outsider. And I think he was so welcoming because he had experienced that in his own life. And I think people who have experienced that actually end up feeling better or being able to be more outgoing with people. We're in Advent, and we're talking about preparing our hearts, preparing our lives, preparing our church for the coming of Christ. Not just the coming at Christmas, but that Mark passage that I read, the second coming, being ready for Christ's return. Preparing the way for Jesus, making ready for his coming. We're lifting up the gates, the heads of our gates. We're opening the gates of our ancient doors, if you will, for our hearts and for our lives and for this church. And so we're using this Advent devotional. If you haven't picked one up yet, I want you to pick one up. Even if you don't have $2, just pick one up. We're going to be doing this. We're all doing this together. The Hispanics all have this. They're doing the Spanish side. We're doing the English side, unless you'd rather do the Spanish side. I encourage you to do it. And I'm just going to read the first entry for today, because today is the first Sunday in Advent. And I'm going to read it. The author is Magdalena Garcia, and she quotes back, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." And she writes this, "December is a nostalgic month for me. It brings back memories of the watershed day, December 29th, 1969, when my family left Cuba as exiles, not sure if we would ever return. We carried one shared suitcase, along with empty pockets and big dreams. Upon landing in Madrid, we were to meet a friend who had money from our relatives in the United States and instructions to welcome us, but our host was out of town, so we were greeted instead by two acquaintances that my father recognized in the crowd. They opened their homes to us. As we begin the Advent season, I'm mindful of all the displaced people who long for a warm welcome." All the display, that's it. That's why I want you to get one of these, because it's a quick read and a good thing to kind of focus your hearts and minds on for the Advent season. Even students can be reading this. All the displaced people. If you remember the first Advent, the first coming of Christ, there was a young couple that was displaced. They left Nazareth. and went to Bethlehem. They didn't know anybody. They were looking for a place to stay, but there was no place open. They ended up in a stable. They were displaced. Later, they would have to go to Egypt and live in Egypt for a time to avoid being harassed by the king. So now think about all of those displaced people around us, people who feel away from home, people who feel like they're not at home. And think about ways that we can open ourselves up to them. Often in the Christian world, the gates and ancient doors represented the human heart. So opening our hearts to Jesus Christ is important at this time. But it also represents our welcoming spirits for others around us. And how are we doing with our welcome? Sometimes I think Daryl was so kind because as a Japanese American, he had experienced that kind of displacement, that kind of feeling like he was an outsider. And many of us have felt that. His parents were first-generation Japanese immigrants, and he understood what it felt like to be on the margins, in the margins. He knew what it was like to be an outsider, and so he was so kind to other outsiders. I look back a couple weeks ago, we celebrated our 135th anniversary, and I don't know about you, but when I drove into the parking lot, there were a lot of cars in the parking lot, and it was hard to find parking. And for some people, it was a little frustrating. But wasn't it great to have all those people here? So I want to be thinking about that. How, that's what I call a good problem to have. How can we be more welcoming when people do come? You know, we should have planned ahead. We should have thought ahead and had people stationed in the parking lot so that we could welcome them that early. We've made a great step to have people at the door now, welcoming people when they come. But other ways that we can make people feel welcome when they come to this church. So my challenge to us today is threefold. First, I want you to go home this week and think about someone who has welcomed you in a difficult place. You heard a couple examples today. Think about that. And if you can, and if you're able, send them a note. A thank you note, and just say, you know what? I'm going to send Daryl a note. I tell you that right now. He's back in Hawaii. He was in Southern California for many years, but he's moved back to Hawaii. I'm going to send him a note of appreciation and let him know, you know, when I was kind of feeling like an outsider, you helped me to feel welcome. So thank you for that. So that's my first challenge to you. My second challenge is to look around you to see who might feel a little displaced, feel a little bit like an outsider. I don't think she's here today, but Mary was here last night, our lady from China. And she was here to help do the decorating in the gallery. And it was great to see her. She's one, you know, that feels a little like an outsider. So reaching out to people like that and letting them know that you appreciate them and welcome them. But it might be a person at your school. It might be a person at work. It might be a person in your neighborhood that feels like an outsider. How can you reach out and welcome them? And then finally, how can we as a church become more welcoming and reach out to people who feel like outsiders? Pretty much anybody that visits a church feels like an outsider. So the best way to step forward and reach out to them and show them kindness and love and show them that they're welcome and that they feel at home, as Hortensia said. So that our church home is more open and inviting to those who are outsiders. So, with that in mind, the challenge, think of somebody who's welcomed you, think of somebody that you can welcome, and then think of ways that our church can be more welcoming. We good? Yeah. Awesome. We're going to, in response to that, we're going to, first, I'm going to say the little prayer at the end of this little Advent reading for today. God of Advent, remind us that you still come to us anew in unexpected ways and people. Amen. So when you welcome people in the name of Jesus Christ, you welcome Christ. That's what he reminds us.